This podcast is proudly brought to you by Octane Coffee, with locations on the West Side, Grant Park, the Pocket Bar in the Bank of America Plaza, and even the newest outpost in Birmingham, Alabama. For more information, please visit octanecoffee.com. I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root Arts in Atlanta conversation. I have the pleasure today of speaking with Jay Carter of One Music Fest and Keisa Bruce of the Atlanta Bike Coalition and Atlanta Streets Alive. Keisa and Jay Carter, how you doing?
Doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, doing wonderful. Thank you so much for having us.
Let's start at the beginning. Talk about the history of your organizations. So just help our listeners understand how we got here. Keisa.
The Atlanta Streets Alive, actually the concept came from Bogota, Colombia. Our executive director, Rebecca Serna, was there visiting and studying and saw this amazing open street. There were no cars. There was community, vendors. There were people on their bikes, walking, dancing. And she was like, this is a beautiful thing. I need to bring this back to Atlanta. And so she did. And after a number of years of hard work, she created and helped create, while working at Atlanta Bicycle Coalition, Atlanta Streets Alive.
I've been doing events in Atlanta for maybe 15 years. And the premise of my events has always been unity. You know, Soul Fusion's tagline was the Intercontinental Love Fest. So, you know, we had all different types of folks DJing, Asian, black, white, didn't matter. And all different types of music from soca to hip hop. So that's always been my love, my passion. You know, I think there's so much music out there. And so much music that we don't know, that it's great to go to an event where you can hear things you're familiar with, but also discover new music and new people. So, and that's the premise of One Music Fest that we started back in 2010. It's our fifth year. And again, our tagline is unity through music. So that is our goal and that is our purpose. And for you, of course, to have one of the best times of your life.
Talk about where you were in maybe your own personal growth, where you felt like it was time for a new type of experience, as it came from where you were with Soul Fusion, mm-hmm. and then creating something larger.
One Music Fest has been, it was sitting on a back burner for a while. We've been doing events in Atlanta for about 15 years, excuse me. And music was always a passion. Me and a few of my friends actually opened up Sugar Hill sometime. And it wasn't that long ago. I think it was like 06, and we had a good little 4.5-year run. But live music has always been a passion. And music also has the power of bringing all types of people together. Kind of piggybacking Keisa, it's Atlanta is a kind of a... It is a silo kind of city. Like, you know, it's other cities. It's a, you know, the HOV lane is three or more. In Atlanta, it's two, because it's just always one person just in their car, and everyone just kind of running around town doing their own thing, staying in their own lane. But I think music has the power of bringing all types of people together, and you kind of drop your guard a little bit. So One Music Fest with the tagline, Unity Through Music, that was our whole idea, to take young, take old, take brown, tan, yellow, black, white, and see if we can, you know, not only introduce communities and people to different artists, but also to each other. So that was the premise of One Music.
Now, staying right there, and from a growth trajectory, what was your vision in terms of where you wanted to grow, where the festival, has gotten to now? Like, how did you walk through some of those steps to get there?
It's a good question. I always wanted it to grow. I mean, our first year, I think we had about 2,500 people. This year, we're expecting maybe 15,000. And we moved it to Lakewood Amphitheater, which was, you know, it was a a co-promotion agreement we have with Live Nation this year, being that we're moving into one of their venues. And they've been very supportive as well, and they understand the vision. So, you know, the grow, as far as where we would like it to grow, I would love it to grow to a multiple-day festival that kind of also embraces a little bit of technology, a little bit more of community, local talent, as well as mainstream, you know, grade A talent as well. So.
Now, Keisa, with Atlanta Streets Alive, I've been to a couple of the different festivals, and from, I guess, from a standpoint of using transportation or bike transit as a platform to unite community, you talk about getting everyone out of their cars, so you instantly remove that barrier. People are on bikes. People are walking. People are pushing their strollers with their children along the route. And I wanted you to talk about how you worked to integrate all of those things, because even beyond just the distance traveled, there's also art, there's also music that happens along the route. So what was your thinking on how to integrate all of that?
Yeah, I think one really unique thing about Atlanta Streets Alive, it isn't like any other festival. And how we incorporated that thought process to make sure people understood was to include activity partners. So people in the community that had a very similar mindset. It could be anything from a dance group to musicians to community organizations, and have them come out for free along the route. And so we also organize that. We communicate, we organize, and handle all those logistics. And we try to, of course, spread that along the route so that no matter where you're going, what area you're touching along the route, if you're walking, you're biking, you'll have something engaging.
Mm-hmm.
It could be your cityscape, or it could be an actual activity, and that activity could encompass so many different things.
Now, did you get any pushback from, I would say, the hardcore bike community, if there are people who are really serious about their racing? And I guess even conversely, did you get any pushback from the arts community or from the music mm-hmm. folks who maybe didn't want to play second fiddle to a race? So with everyone having to sort of share that space, or I would say share that moment, where, mm-hmm. how did you approach both of those groups to say, this is what we're trying to do, and to maybe alleviate some of the resistance?
Well, I think giving opportunity to all. So it's a, you know, the event's 4 hours on a Sunday afternoon. So usually it doesn't compete with some other type of races, as you say, or events. And again, really relating that it's not a music festival. It's not a bike race. Sure, we have a bike parade that launches the event, usually starts to kicks it off, I should say. But it's a fun event. That's a bike ride that anyone can join in, no matter your skill level, and just have fun. Some people dress up. There's themes. So it really kind of still then also, too, you're getting that artist aspect in the bike part, where then with the activities, you're touching so many other people that might not ever be, you know, into, because maybe say you only touch the music festival crowd. Well, now you got a crowd of people who maybe might really into music, as you say, it connects so many different people in the community, but maybe they don't go to music festivals for one reason or another, or maybe mm-hmm. they don't go to a bike race for one reason or another because they don't feel as skilled on their bike. This gives options for all.
Mm. And for our listeners out there, can you talk about the different neighborhoods where you've had events, just so that people can get a mental map of where you've been around Atlanta?
Sure. When it started in 2010, it was a smaller stretch on Edgewood. And that area, really wanting to highlight that neighborhood, which looks very different right now, which is closer, this Edgewood part is closer to downtown, and then incorporated Auburn as well the following year. And since then, we've moved into Highland in our the following year, and incorporated the North Highland area and Highland, which stopped at Boulevard. But then, as we expanded that Highland route, because it was very popular, we incorporated Boulevard as well and Peachtree last year. So right now we've done a couple of different routes. I think this year was most unique because we extended on what we had done before, though we have moved away from Edgewood because we found that we've done a lot of advocacy because we are an advocacy group on Edgewood, and people have seen a difference on Edgewood and are starting to see that difference on Auburn. And not saying we might never go back there because they're still very special to what we believe in and what Atlanta can be. But we incorporated this year with Peachtree and Highland West End. And with the West End neighborhood, it was, again, hey, this is Atlanta Streets Alive. So let's continue to spread this around to different parts of Atlanta that we find are supportive of this. Because, of course, it takes a community to put this event on. It really does. So we found a lot of support and eagerness in the West End community. Understanding and loving their neighborhood just as much as we saw the beauty of their neighborhood. And so that's why we went to that neighborhood as well, and we hope to continue to move to other neighborhoods in Atlanta, but still giving homage to the Peachtrees and the Highlands, the West Ends, hope maybe even Edgewood and Auburn in the future.
Nice.
Jay, talk about location for you. You mentioned that this year was the start of, well, I guess, maybe a transition point where you're now in a new location. I think you all started the first time at Park Tavern, I believe.
No, we actually started in, we're in King Plow.
Okay, so that was the very first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so from King Plow to Park Tavern to the Old Fourth Ward Park.
Masquerade Music Park, then Old Fourth.
Okay.
So we're moving, we're kind of
You're moving.
Here. We're moving around a lot. But it's a good thing because, again, you know, it was an idea. It was a concept we had. And just like everything, I think you learn through trial and error what works best and where you can tweak some things. You know, we did it in King Plow. It was a big, big space. We kind of cleared out an entire parking lot, put up a huge stage. We utilized some of the inside of some of the buildings in King Plow. But we also did it at the end of July. And when that sun hits the asphalt at 98 degrees, you know, with no shade, oh man, it was a scorcher. So we moved it then back to August, wanted to find some grass. And that's when we went to Park Tavern, Piedmont Park. And that worked out well. Numbers grew. But the staging was too small, we thought. You know, it didn't feel festivalish enough. I'm making up words here. So then we decided to go to Masquerade Music Park. A lot of people, I think in my immediate community has never been to Masquerade Music Park. You know, it's a big green space they have that can hold, you know, 4,000 some odd people. That's not really utilized a lot, you know, within the R&B, funk, soul, hip-hop community. So bringing it there was a great move. And then the following year, we kind of incorporated Fourth Ward Park, which was it was still kind of being built and developed. So we kind of enclosed that entire area. So we had two stages. We used one stage in Masquerade Music Park last year and one stage in Fourth Ward Park. And we had about 8,000 people last year. And this year we kind of felt, you know, if we were really going after the type of artists we really wanted to, that space would not be big enough and it could cause problems. We were surprised we didn't get any complaints last year. We had zero complaints. No issues. 'Cause, you know, I mean, I love Atlanta, but you know, it's, you know, sometimes when, you know, we had a Belgium soul group named Quadrant, but we also had Snoop Dogg. So if you have Snoop Dogg blaring at 10 o'clock at night, sometimes you think, you know, maybe you may get a couple of phone calls. And actually, we got more praise than complaints, which was pretty amazing. And it was a very diverse group of folks, man. I mean, it's parents are bringing their 15, 16-year-old kids out all the way up to, I've seen 65-year-old folks out there partying with Snoop. My parents were out there. So you know, so we said, well, you know, we kind of got to find a bigger home this year. And I have a decent relationship with some of the folks over at Live Nation. We just kind of started talking about it. And they said, you know what about Lakewood? You know, they have a huge, lush piece of grass, space that can hold about 12,000 some odd people, reserve seating, indoor, outdoor areas. I said, you know what, this could work. And they've been great to work with. So we're excited to be about Lakewood, and who knows, we may move again next year, but this year I think Lakewood works best for us.
Allow me to piggyback off of that, because I think about location, and here we always talk about how location informs the experience a lot of times. Mm-hmm. If something is being held in a certain place, that place will help to inform you in some sort of way about what's about to happen. Mm-hmm. And I do know that a lot of people, a lot of fans of yours and of One Music Fest, who I talked to at the festival last year, mm-hmm. really loved the ambiance and the experience last year. Mm-hmm. So can you put some of them at ease as it relates to the move this year? I think a lot of people were a little bit hesitant to embrace the move this year. So can you sort of put some of them at ease about that?
Well, you know, you can't appease everybody.
This is true.
And as soon as you try to is when you lose direction and you kind of the event and the brand loses a little bit of its integrity. But on our end, we receive all the emails, the praise and the bashing. So, you know, some people kind of complained about, I don't know who would complain about having two stages and having multiple acts, but some people actually said, you know, I felt like it was too much moving around. I felt like I had to run stage to stage to see some of the artists that I like. So, you know, why can't we bring chairs? Okay, well, let's do a small amount of reserve seating, you know. If you want to stand up and be close to the stage, Lakewood Amphitheater actually has pit tickets, which allows you to walk right up to the main stage and party with your favorite artists. If you want to lay out in the grass, you can get a lawn ticket. Lay out in the grass, bring your blanket, hang out with your friends and family, and watch the activities from there. They allowed us to put another stage on the outdoor side of Lakewood, so we still will have two stages, which would also encompass our food truck village, our merchant village, food trucks, our merchants, some of our vendors as well. So you'll still have that market area that you're looking for. Some people didn't like the fact that VIP did not have an inside. So now we actually have both. So now we have an indoor VIP lounge, you know, and an outdoor area for our VIP guests as well. So it answers and solves a lot of questions. You know, that some people complain about parking. The parking situation is now totally eliminated. You know, traffic getting in and out of the area, totally eliminated. I mean, Lakewood, again, I haven't been to Lakewood in probably like 15 years, you know, but when I had the conversation with Live Nation and they said, well, let's just do a walkthrough. I love the space. I mean, it's a little bit for everybody. The concession area is that much better. I think people will be very, very surprised. And the production is amazing there. You know, I mean, if you're looking for the light show and the sound and all that, it has all of that. So,
switching gears, we'll come back to some of that later on. But switching gears, Keysa, you mentioned something or a word that stuck out to me: advocacy. And I wanted to learn more about what the Atlanta Bike Coalition does as its primary advocacy work. Talk about that.
Sure. So we are the only advocacy group here in Atlanta. And when it comes to cycling and bicycling, and our mission is to make Atlanta a better cycling place for all. So we work a lot with the city, with planning legislation of bike infrastructure. But we also do a lot with education and classes. But it could even be anything as small as getting bike maps you know, and knowing where all the bike lanes out to bike shops or people who come by and want, or different events that, say, have a bag that they want to throw in, you know, for their VIPs or for people who are visiting. We also do events like Atlanta Street to Live, but other smaller events like Mobile Socials, which is a social ride. We do that once a month. The second Friday of the month starts at Woodruff Park. And all these things are to commit community, but also education to make sure people know how to cycle. And then also legislation infrastructure, because that's really important for people getting out there. I think a lot of people don't cycle because they say they don't feel comfortable here in Atlanta. I'm from Atlanta. That's why it means even more to me for it to be a city, a top 10, you know, if not top 5 bicycle city within the next couple of years, which is something that the mayor is working towards. And with our help and so many others, we hope that it will get there. So,
as an advocate for bicycle transit here in Atlanta, what is your biggest challenge? Is it the car drivers out there? I don't bike as much as I would like to, but for most of us who are traveling in our cars, is that the biggest hurdle, educating us on how to share the road? Is it working with our government to provide more bike lanes? Is it safety? Like, what is your biggest challenge out there?
All of the above. I want to say that I think the biggest challenge that we have, which is a little bit of both, right? I think with education, and as we all know, the more educated people are regarding the facts, regarding that the bicycle can be used just like any other vehicle, and it is called a vehicle, and respecting it as so, and learning how to, through education, how to get on a bike and learn the traffic laws and feel safe in it. The second you get back in your car, you're going to take that knowledge with you. And so I know plenty of people say, well, you know what, I was a little aggravated at cyclists at one point, but then the second I started, you know, I want to get on my bike a little bit, maybe get with your kids, or maybe you have other family members or friends, and they're like, oh, I want to use the Atlanta Beltline, you know, or I just want to, you know, be able just to run down the street a little bit. I don't want to get in my car to do that. Maybe it's a little too far to walk, so why don't I bike? They do that once or twice. They have a very different thought process when they're in their car. So I think the biggest thing is educating but getting it to the masses. So getting the communication, getting the mission, getting what we do and where Atlanta can be to the masses. So not just the small pockets that we continue to touch, but really, so through programs like this, which is amazing, and so many others, we're trying to spread the word of that there is a coalition and this is what we do. And there are so many resources out there for anyone that's looking for ways to, you know, have a bike day at their school or a bike rodeo that I know a lot of police departments put on. They'll reach out to us to say, well, how do I do this? Or how do I get free helmets, you know, for kids that don't have helmets? Things like that. I think that sometimes is our biggest challenge, is really getting the word out and communication to the masses.
Now, Jay Carter, from your perspective, whether you embrace this or realize this or not, you are also an advocate for music in Atlanta, and you have been for quite some time. So I would love for you to talk about maybe some of the programming that you do outside of One Music Fest. I mean, that's one day out of the year. So what are you involved with the rest of the days of the year, or what is One Music Fest involved with that helps to, I guess, promote music or kind of maintain a healthy musical community here in Atlanta? Talk about that.
Well, honestly, I used to be able to do a little bit more. You know, when we had, I think Soul Fusion was, Soul Fusion and Sugar Hill was, I think was a major player in that as well. I think there was a scene of, and I guess a pocket of music that was kind of overlooked with regards to live venues and just even in the club scene as well, you know, just going out and enjoying nightlife and not listening to the same thing you're listening to on the radio in the clubs. I mean, if you flip through anybody's iPod, I'm dating myself, or cell phone, they have, you know, a slew of music from rock to reggae to hip hop to country blues, but sometimes you also want to celebrate that music when you go out, and that was the whole concept of Soul Fusion is why can't we get a bunch of different types of DJs and blend all types of music together and people. So, you know, through those types of events and when we opened Sugar Hill, also embracing the different types of pockets within the music community as well. I mean, we hosted everyone from Gil Scott-Heron to Public Enemy, you know. You know, some of the artists and some of the acts that were getting overlooked, but we still celebrate and love. And One Music Fest is you know, it may happen one time a year, but it takes almost a year to really kind of plan it and get it in to get it to where it's supposed to be come the time of the event. And in planning for the event, we were notified that there isn't an event like this, really, outside of One Music Fest. The closest thing would be maybe the Roots Picnic in Philly. But to be able to go to an event to where you can listen to everyone from a Santa Gold to a Quadrant and turn around and see Goody Mob or Nas performing in the same breath, I mean, what you're doing is you're bringing artists together that would never share the same stage. And you don't know what can happen from that. And then you're also bringing together fan base of different artists together in one space and introducing folks to music and different types of music. So a lot of planning goes into that. And again, we're trying to also expand the brand a little bit as well and trying to develop a multiple-day festival that kind of encompass, you know, technology and entertainment and also community.
One thing about community and One Music Fest, I do know that you've been very instrumental in trying to give opportunities to local artists mm-hmm. with your festival. So there's a mechanism by which you've created a space for a local artist to perform at One Music Fest that gives them that exposure, that gives them, you know, that opportunity to interact with some of these acts that you've mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. For someone who is early in their career, who may not ever have the chance to do that so soon. So talk about that that intent to really make sure that Atlanta's local artists are included in One Music Fest.
We have a contest called Searching for the One, and we allow indie artists to kind of submit their music and their bio and information onto a website. And we review it, you know, if it's clean, if it makes sense, if it's good music. They go in as one of the contestants. Last year, collectively, I think we had about, I don't know, man, 4,000 submissions. I mean, it's a lot of submissions. Everyone doesn't make it. You know, some people are just singing into a camera phone and sending us. And, you know, we would love to accept those, but we can't really. I mean, you don't want to set these types of people up on stage in front of thousands of folks and, you know, and the hopes just get blown up. So we do kind of look for a little bit more polished indie artists. But they're unsigned indie artists. We allow the fans to actually go to the website to vote for who they want to hear. We get a small pocket of a selection of A&Rs, record industry A&Rs, to also kind of view our finalists. And then we select two. Give them 10 to 15 minutes on stage, perform about 2-3 songs. You know, just to give them a chance to get what it feels like to really perform in front of a large amount of people. And hopefully while they're backstage, they can, you know, make contact with some of these artists and managers and grow their career.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by Octane Coffee. For more information, please visit octanecoffee.com. Well, normally on these conversations, we love for our artist participants to ask questions of each other. Now that you've been in conversation for about a half hour or so, we'd love for you all to ask each other some questions based on what we've talked about thus far. Either of you, go for it.
Well,
yeah.
In 4 years, you said, you guys grew the event from 2010 to now, and was it 2 years ago you guys did it on Peachtree?
Yep, the first time actually in Peachtree was last year.
It was last year.
Mm-hmm.
You had 100.
Total between all three events, so that's two Peachtree events in the Highland, where it's over 154,000 people.
Wow.
The last Peachtree we did last September, so the first Peachtree was in May, it rained, but still had a really good turnout. Mm-hmm. That second Peachtree, though, it was a beautiful day in September and had over 62,000 people come out.
Wow. So is the city of Atlanta helping you guys get the word out, or is it more so on you guys?
Nothing other than what they usually do for any other festival that you put on this special events mm-hmm. application. You mark, hey, I would love to do some for you to post this on your website. They're not – the great thing is they are very supportive of
right.
the event and allowing and seeing the value, mm-hmm. Especially with the Mayor Reed, seeing the value of this type of event
mm-hmm.
That happens not just in Atlanta, but like I said, all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
They've been given a lot of financial support last year.
Okay.
But this year, nothing but, you know, like a lot of verbal support. But from a marketing standpoint, we do all of our marketing and by gathering other sponsors, as well as we pay for police and barricades
right.
and lane closures, et cetera, et cetera. They all comes from Atlanta Bicycle Coalition and our efforts.
Okay.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. what is your greatest – how do you all get the word out to reach 100,000 people? I mean, it's more than Atlanta Falcons get out to a game. Like, how do you guys get that word out?
The biggest thing is social media. I'm not going to lie. Between
yeah.
that and really partnering with the community,
mm-hmm.
so finding some really amazing partners,
mm-hmm.
That we've started to set up a thing called a planning committee,
mm-hmm.
Of course, that incorporated. So it's not just Atlanta Bicycle Coalition, maybe some key council members that also saw the light or some others, like really trying to home in on that neighborhood mm-hmm. and planning committee. So doing it very grassroots that way.
Mm-hmm.
But then from the larger standpoint, it's going out and just really from social media and making some great partnerships. That's how we've gotten it.
Good stuff.
So it really is very grassroots at the moment. So we know it can just continue to explode the second we do get some good like media, some better media coverage and marketing behind it.
Do you feel like a lot of progressive forward thinking, grassroots style individuals and corporations and businesses are the backbone of the growth of Atlanta? Do you feel that way?
I actually want to say yes. I feel like it is a very like community that moves movements forward, and mm-hmm. I think probably both of us kind of feel this. But I want to see what your experience is with it as well, and hear that story because the way you put it that way, I completely believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that it really is community
mm-hmm.
or organizations or businesses that want to give back to community
mm-hmm.
that's part of their mission, no matter how they make their money on
right.
the front end. The heart of their mission
mm-hmm.
is to give back, and they're the ones that are really driving that momentum to change Atlanta, the face of Atlanta.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. We had a conversation about that the other day.
Oh, yeah.
It's just certain pockets that you look at, and it's like, you know, it's not taking anything away from what Atlanta does for Atlanta, but
mm-hmm.
But when you look at the Croc Street Market that they're about to build out and the Ponce, the market that they're building out on Ponce and
yeah, Ponce
just different areas and that that you have people just being true advocates for their communities and neighborhoods as taking the initiative and saying, you know what, this area needs this. This will work well. I mean, of course, they're in business to make money. Okay, but it's still but what they're creating and building is such a positive force and factor within the community and within Atlanta. I just think it's a lot of forward, progressive thinking individuals, man, are really contributing to the growth of Atlanta right now. And I think in 10 years, this place is going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
more amazing than it is now.
I feel it's definitely becoming it's ground up instead of up. Now, like some cities, you do see that it is the it's
New York is
again up down,
right?
Exactly.
Right.
I completely agree with you there. And it, tell me a little bit more about your experience too, though. With we touched on a little bit before, but saying like sponsorships and reaching out and being able to get your word out of what you all need, you know, and who's partnering to be able to get where you have been.
On our end, it's very grassroots as well. It's heavy social media. It's small pockets and small communities that really get behind One Music Fest, support it, and get the word out. You know, we also embrace visual artists as well. So we highlight about six to ten visual artists out of Atlanta, allow them to showcase their work at One Music Fest, do some live, do like a live installation at One Music Fest. And we promote them via our website. They promote the event to their community and fan base as well. But it is. It's very grassroots. And, you know, from your basic, you know, Instagrams and Facebooks to small organizations that's lending their database and email blast for us, you know, in exchange for tickets or whatever else they want for the event. I mean, the city has supported us as well. I mean, for us to do what we did last year in Fourth World Park, and even for what we did our first year in King Plow, which has never been done before, you know, they could easily said no, but no, they actually our first year they gave us the a Phoenix Award for what we're attempting to build and do. So we have gotten support from the city. You know, but we could always use a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more.
I hear both of you talk about growth, not just from Atlanta and growing the city in terms of a rich culture perspective, but as it relates to both of your entities. Kisa, you talk about growing from, 1,500 to 100,000. And Jay, you talk about going from the first time being over at King Plow to now you're at Lakewood Amphitheater. So talk about the resources or the additional resources that you've had to allot or secure or budget for as it relates to your growth. Because the easy part sometimes is to have the idea and to do it once.
Mm-hmm.
But then the hard work is also in growing it and nurturing it. So talk about allocating those resources for growing what you're trying to accomplish.
Mm. Well, I'm going to let you know. I mean, for One Music Fest, it's definitely a passion and a vision because we have lost money several years. So you definitely have got you need to want to do this. And I believe in it. I believe in Atlanta. I believe in the event. I believe in what it is and what it does to people and how it brings folks together. And I see the future in it. But you do have to be smart in planning something like this. I mean, you know, it's my vision and Goody Mob's and CeeLo's vision is not the same. So they still want their check at the end of their performance. So they're not going to give me any, you know, homie discount. So it's still a lot of overhead in producing an event like this. So we do have to leverage our relationships with sponsors and some of the people that we're working with in the city as far as be it if it's bartering or and raising more money via sponsorship dollars. We've been blessed to have a good group of sponsors to get behind One Music Fest, but But again, we still need a little bit. We need a little bit more. We could always use a little bit more. So,
I completely agree that we do this because we love it. Mm-hmm. At Atlanta Bicycle Coalition, we have 4 staff members total. Mm. So, and we do a lot other than just events. I mean, so it's first thing. It was getting the right talent mm-hmm. and mindset to bring on board, make those sacrifices to know that this is something that we want to do, and then finding the resources to make it happen was really very much a bartering system. Yeah. It was relying on some amazing sponsors that have seen this vision and continue to support us, because we are not making money on this either. It's mm-hmm. very much and have lost money mm-hmm. but this is a vision for Atlanta. It's changing mm-hmm. Atlanta's scape. Mm-hmm. And as we continue to grow, we're always thinking about strategies of how can we continue this event, because under a small nonprofit, it's very difficult. But again, it really is having amazing volunteers, mm-hmm. people who get it, who want to be there and are just like us, working tooth and nail to make sure that these types of events happen. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, again, I think same as Jay's group, we're stretched thin all the time, but at the same time, it's very much a grassroots way, and we're always looking for more support so mm-hmm. that we can continue this beautiful vision that Atlanta loves.
Well, how can we support you? Let all of our listeners know out there who are listening, if they would like to support your efforts and get on board or volunteer or whatever the case may be. How can Atlanta support you? Well, each of you, actually. How can we all get behind you?
Well, for Atlanta Bicycle Coalition, it's pretty easy. Biggest thing is become a member. Mm-hmm. We're membership-based, and we have many different ways that you can become a member. And always renew. You know, don't just be a member once. But you want to continue to see this growth and this beauty, then become a member. Because every dollar counts towards our goals and what we're trying to do in Atlanta. And then next would be, volunteering your time. And if you have talent, because there's tons of talent out in Atlanta, mm-hmm. volunteer. Keep saying, you know what, I have an amazing activity, you know, or I have amazing contact with so-and-so, and I think they'll want to sponsor. Those are the things that we're always looking to build, and that we know that it's out there in Atlanta, because we talked about how it seems like Atlanta's going to grow, you know, from the community up. Mm-hmm. So let's continue to rally around things that we believe in and give dollars or give talent.
I agree. Yeah. Volunteers, we can use the more volunteers, the better. We have a solid, nice group of volunteers now, but we can always use more. If you're interested in volunteering, info@onemusicfest.com, and that's the number one spelled out, musicfest.com. And buy tickets. I mean, it's a great event. You know, bring your friends, bring your family. We have a great lineup this year. We have Daly, Amel LaRue, we have Nas, Method Man, Red Man. Bilal is on board this year. We're going to release about 3 more names. We got a big name to release on Thursday or Friday of this week. So be looking for it. Go to the website, onemusicfest.com, and tell your friends. And, you know, if you're listening to this out of Atlanta, hit us up. We got some great hotel discount rates if you're traveling. We'll be sure to take care of you.
And for Atlanta Streets Alive, of course, it's AtlantaStreetsAlive.com. You can always find more information there, Atlanta Bicycle Coalition, and we're AtlantaBike.org.
And lastly, for each of you, I would love for both of you to just give some final thoughts on either your vision for what you represent, for the city, for just how you want to use what you're doing to push things forward here in Atlanta and even beyond. Final thoughts.
My vision for Atlanta Streets Alive is that it becomes a staple within the city of Atlanta, and it stays for many, many years to come, so that people continue to be out in their communities, because the more they're involved with their communities, the more that they will respect and love it.
And my vision is for One Music Fest to help with the, I guess, the cultural fusion within Atlanta through music. So, you know, hopefully we'll get to a point where it's a multi-day music festival where we can, you know, expand our reach and have rock and reggae and all types of music on various days and touch all different communities and cultures of people. That's my vision, to see all of us kind of assimilate more.
Jay Carter from One Music Fest and Keisa Bruce from the Atlanta Bike Coalition and Atlanta Streets Alive. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Floyd.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by Octane Coffee, with locations on the West Side, Grant Park, the Pocket Bar in the Bank of America Plaza, and even the newest outpost in Birmingham, Alabama. For more information, please visit octanecoffee.com.